Today we'll be speaking on striving as one body in Christ, lesson 11. And I believe more than ever before we need a great move of God that can't be explained by promotion, psychology, or propaganda. We live in a world that glamorizes adultery, liquorizes society, and humanizes God. Movie stars with faces like angels and morals like alley cats, and it's affecting the children and the youth. And many churches, no one's upset. Apathy rules the day. I've heard it said this way, that the sin that used to slink in the back alleys now struts down Main Street. And the hour is desperate. The hour is ripe. I believe that in light of all this pandemic and all that we've seen, there is a turning to spiritual things. There's concern about all this. In spite of all the anguish and debauchery, there's a question burning in the heart of every man and every woman. Every mother's child is thinking about this. They're saying, does God have the answer? They're asking, does God have the answer for the problems of this world? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. I'm unspeakably excited about what we're going to talk about today. And my heart's heavy, too, and you're going to find out why. Many people around this world have tried sin. They're feeding on husks and sawdust and a mouthful of ashes, and they're asking just one more time, is Jesus Christ the answer? Is there hope? Yes, absolutely, there is. I believe that these are the last days, and the sands of time are trickling down, and we need to run the race with patience against sin, against Satan, and against self. Reasonable service, as we talked about last week. We were talking about Romans chapter 12, and reasonable service at the end of one of those verses talks about our logical ministry. We have a place to serve. We're not saved here just to sit, soak, and sour, but we're here to be a part of what God desires to do at Anchor Baptist Church. Every saint, a servant, every member, a minister, every member, a fellow helper of Jesus Christ. And if we don't hear God's word, why should he hear our word? He requests of us. He beseeches us. The verse that I'm talking about goes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And Paul wrote, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, as if he were beseeching us and begging us and pleading for us, listen to these words here. It's your reasonable service to serve me. That's what God is telling each and every one of us today. Striving as the body of Christ. Striving as the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Skip down to verse 27. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God is talking to us today, all of us, including me, and he's saying, you all are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We talk about church membership. Well, there are church members, and Christ is the head of this body. He's not the president of an organization. He's the head of an organism, and if we are the body, his hands ought to be reaching, and his feet ought to be going, and his mouth ought to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And we're about to do that on Deliver the Truth Day on the 26th of February. If you haven't signed up and you have the opportunity to do that, I would highly recommend and strongly urge you to do that if you can be a part of that. Now, the concept of striving together as a local church is illustrated no better than the biblical metaphor of the body of Christ. When we consider the local church as a body, we're going to appreciate the variety among our members and accept our responsibility to one another. Now, notice, consecration. We talk about that word sometimes as a high, holy, lofty word, it seems. but to be consecrated to the Lord. Sometimes in our hymns, we'll talk about consecration. But consecration is not giving anything to God. It's taking my hands off that which already belongs to him. Everything I have belongs to my Savior. And he's not going to make me do it. He's not going to make you do it. There are no draftees in the Lord's army, only volunteers. And these three principles, these three tremendous truths that we're going to talk about today and striving together, I can only articulate, but only the Spirit of God can write them and write these things upon your heart and my heart. So let's delve into this evening. Striving as the body of Christ for 31 or 33 and one half years, Jesus Christ moved and walked upon the face of this earth. He demonstrated the love of God and the compassion of God to a lost and broken world. He showed love to the hurting and the wounded. He showed those around him what it meant to be a true servant. And he boldly declared a message of hope and salvation. The point of today's lesson is this. The work that Christ began with his physical body, he now continues through the spiritual body, his spiritual body, the church. And God's word refers to the local church as the body of Christ. And this picture is used throughout the New Testament. We can read of this in some verses here. Romans 12, verse 4 through 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we're not all the same. Verse 5 of the same chapter reads this, so we, being many, as one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Let me read another verse to you, Ephesians 1, 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 4, 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Colossians 1, 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Colossians 2, 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. And as we talk about this lesson today, we're going to touch on this metaphor several times. And today is going to be our primary focus as we learn about striving together. The function of the local church. Notice this is our calling. The function of the local church is to carry out the will of Jesus Christ, pointing men and women to him and serving as his agents in this world. We are not our own. God has purchased us with his own blood, and we serve at his command. The third verse of the great hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers, well describes our role as the body of Jesus Christ. Listen to these lyrics. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we're treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity, one in unconditional Christ-like love. Nowhere is the concept of the church as the body of Christ explained in greater detail than in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And in this chapter, we're going to discover three keys, three tremendous truths, and three keys to understanding our role in the body of Christ. We had a theme many years ago, a church theme. I think my family came to this church in the middle of this theme, and the theme of our church at that time was a place for you to serve, a place for you to serve. And they kind of had a jigsaw puzzle theme going on. And there was a missing piece, as if to say, this is where you're supposed to be. And the pastor had that heavy on his heart. He said, hey, man, you might be the missing piece to this puzzle. So let's think about this. Roman numeral one, the ministry of the Spirit. The first blank is ministry. The second blank is Spirit. Now, Jesus explained to the disciples in John chapter 14 through 16 that upon his departure, the Holy Spirit would come into their lives, and that would enable them to fulfill all that God had them to do as they labored in the ministry of the New Testament local church. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit's arrival before continuing his gospel ministry. Listen. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, consider two specific benefits provided to us by the Holy Spirit that are explained toward the beginning of this chapter here that we're going over. Letter A, he provides the miracle of unity. He provides the miracle of unity. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Aren't you grateful for that? We're all different. We all have different gifts. They're not earned, they're learned, they're given by God. And he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities or differences of administrations, but the same Lord. He provides the miracle of unity, letter A. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God that works all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's truly a miracle that people who are so different can also function in such unity. Not uniformity, not union. Just because we're together doesn't mean we're accomplishing all that we're supposed to. Just because we're all sitting in one room and hearing God's word taught doesn't mean that we've come in unity. But so many things about us are different. Our personalities, our backgrounds, where we're from, where we grew up. How about where you were born and the people you hung around as a child and even to this day? Listen, God does not expect unanimity. He expects unity. He expects unity. In other words, not everyone's expected to come to the same conclusions or think exactly the same as everybody else. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and so we agree on good doctrine. We agree on the Word of God. We agree on what Scripture says, but we're not to allow differences in personality or preferences to create division. When differing people gather around one body of doctrine and read from one Bible and walk in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, then unity can be found. Letter B, he provides a mosaic of giftedness. He provides a mosaic for giftedness. Take the Word of God and look at verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Look at verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Severally as he will. In his wisdom, the Holy Spirit has given these gifts in Christ's body and given those in Christ's body a wide variety of spiritual gifts. And like the pieces of a complicated mosaic or a puzzle, if you will, we're unique. And when we're properly joined together, we can become a whole masterpiece that serves as a testimony to our Creator. These gifts are given by God's grace. Notice Paul's explanation in Romans that these gifts are given to us by the grace of God. Romans 12, 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. We're going to go into what all this means later on, so just listen. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now remember, some gifts like healings and tongues and words of knowledge were temporary sign gifts. Important distinction there. Temporary sign gifts to be used during the early ministry of the apostles and first century Christians. While they awaited the Scripture's completion or the Bible's completion. We have all of the Bible right here. On the other hand, there are seven permanent edifying gifts to be used during the New Testament church age, and I just read them to you, Romans 12, 6 through 8. Let me read for you these seven, a little description of these seven. You might have a place within these, and actually, if you are saved today, you definitely have a place within these. Number one, prophecy. And that carries the idea of preaching and discernment. And when someone preaches, it's with the intent to persuade, and Lord helping them, they have the ability to persuade as they go to the Word of God, and God allows them to articulate that clearly. So preaching, it's not foretelling, it's forthtelling. It's telling the truth to people who need to hear it. Number two, there's ministry. Ministry carries the idea of helping or serving. Helping or serving. Number three, teaching. Teaching. Teaching carries the idea of helping others understand truth. Clarifying truth. This is a great skill to have, maybe for a small Sunday school class or maybe teaching children. Teaching carries the idea of helping others understand the truth. Number four, exhortation carries the idea of encouragement. Encouragement. Number five, giving carries the idea of generosity and giving. Number six, ruling. Ruling carries the idea of administration. And number seven, mercy. Mercy carries the idea of compassion. Now, I was thinking about this, and I heard a wonderful illustration that kind of frames this in my mind to help me understand. Now, imagine a dinner party. Let me show you how all these gifts work together, okay? And someone's bringing in the dessert after the main course is served, and now the dessert's ready. And the dessert slips off the tray and onto the floor. What a mess! Let me show you how these gifts kind of work together. And prophecy, and someone who has the gift of prophecy, he might say, well, that's what happens when you're not careful, okay? Number two, you have mercy. Mercy would say, hey, don't feel bad. That could happen to anybody. Ministry, someone who has the gift of helps would say, hey, don't worry about it. Let me help you clean that up. Teaching. The teacher might say, you know, it fell because it was too heavy on one side. Exhortation, I appreciate you. Let me encourage you. The meal was wonderful. Next time, let's serve the dessert with the meal. Giving. I'll buy a new dessert. And finally, administration. Someone with the gift of administration would probably say something like this. Bill, you get a mop. Susie, you please help pick it up. And Mary, why don't you pick us up some more dessert? You see, that's how it would work in the context of a dinner party. And we all kind of have a place to serve in God's local church. There's a place for you at Anchor Baptist Church if you're a member of this church. Romans 9:20 reads, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? The temptation is, if we're living in the flesh and we're focused on ourselves and we're focused on our own pleasure and our own glory and not his, what happens is we might ask God, God, why did you give me the talents? Or why do my talents seem non-existent? why do I have the abilities that I have? And why hast thou made me thus? We might ask a question like that. But to God, we should not ask such a question. We're foolish to question his wisdom in matters like these. He has a place for you to serve, and he has a place for me to serve, and we can have a place in God's church to help pastor and to help the work of the Lord go forward, as it's always advancing through Anchor Baptist Church. Roman numeral 2, the metaphor of the body, the metaphor of the body. Okay, now who can help me with this? What's a simile? Does anyone know? You can raise your hand, or don't be afraid to talk at me. This is just a lesson. What's a simile? It's comparison using certain words, like or as, right? That's a simile. And a metaphor would be like a word picture that doesn't use those words. So the metaphor of the body, what's that? So God's word presents several metaphors in an effort to help us understand the life and ministry of the local church. Its members are referred to as a flock. Turn to Acts chapter number 20. The members are referred to as a flock. And keep that finger in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll be back. Acts 20. Acts 20:29. For I know this, that after my departing, this is Paul speaking, that grievous wolves may enter among you, not sparing the flock. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, Jesus speaking, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How about this? Not only is the members are the members of the church referred to as a flock. The church is compared to a building. It's compared to a building, but the church is not the building. The church is the body. The church is compared to a building, Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, an holy temple in the Lord. The church is compared to a building, but the church is also described as the house of God, the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And I would submit to you today, before judgment begins at the house of God, it must begin at your house, and it must begin at my house. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It must begin with me and you. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, do you have those verses written down there, the ones that I'm reading out to you? You do? Okay, great. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the first part of that verse, you can use on your kids. Thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. You can use that one. But the last part, when a local church ceases to become the pillar and ground of the truth, it's no longer the church. We're not a social club. This is not a country club where we gather and, you know, sip iced tea and talk about the latest trends and all that's happening. No, that's not why we're here. The local church, the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. And it ought to be. Think of this. We are called the bride of Christ. We are called the bride of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul was jealous over that local church. He was talking to the Corinthians. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. He was talking to the church of Corinth. Paul said, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him when the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife, the church, made herself ready, the bride of Christ. However, the body of Christ is the picture used the most often through the New Testament. There are four principles concerning life in the local church that we can learn from this metaphor. You know, those letters that we have here, these blanks. These four principles concerning life in the local church that we can learn from this metaphor found in the heart of 1 Corinthians 12. So letter A, we are many. We are many, and yet we are one body. We are many, and yet we are one body. Here's the second encouragement toward oneness and unity found in this chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for this unity in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly before going to the cross. John 17, that high priestly prayer, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Did you know that your name's in the Bible, or you are in the Bible? It's right here in John 17. He's praying for us, and neither pray I for these alone, but also for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Now, I believed on Christ through his word, and if you're saved today, if you're a blood-bought believer, you also have believed on Christ through his word. And so Jesus prayed for us here, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Even as we are one. Letter B. We touched on this last week, but we are mistaken when we compare within the body. Letter B, we are mistaken when we compare within the body. 1 Corinthians 12:15 through 16 reads, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? What a silly question. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? How silly it would be if we were all just one giant eye, or just one giant nose walking around. As we occupy our place in the body, we must avoid the temptation of fixing our attention on the other members of the body. well, I can't do what pastor does, so I guess I'm a nobody. We ought not to think like that. Because I can't play the piano, because I can't sing a special, or I'm not in the children's choir, or whatever it is, you know. I can't serve in the nursery. People can come with a plethora of excuses as to why they can't serve. But don't let that be you today. Some can be distracted and look at other people in comparison, in jealousy, or resentment. And when I make this mistake, it renders me ineffective. It renders me ineffective in my own role and my responsibility. It doesn't take a medical surgeon to realize that every part of the body is important, regardless of its shape, its size, or its function. I mean, you look at me here today and you say, well, okay, Kevin's limbs are operating fine, you know, but you're not talking about my liver. You can't see it, but, you know, if I had a problem with my liver, you guys would probably know something's off, right? And sometimes it's the invisible parts of the body that, you know, make a really big impact. How many of you woke up this morning and thanked God for your liver, you know? 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Not wise, a synonym for that would be foolish. It's foolish to do that. Letter C, we're made purposefully. Letter C, we're made purposefully, unique for the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? I just touched on that. Now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it's pleased him. The truth found here should provide encouragement to every Christian. Consider these following thoughts. There's a job for me to do within the local body. I was specifically put here by God to do that job. No one is uniquely equipped to do that job as I am. Not because I'm special, but because he gave me this ability. If I don't accomplish the job God has for me, the church won't reach its fullest potential and God won't be pleased. The gifts and abilities that God has invested in my life are stewardship to be used for his glory and his purposes. As every man hath received the gift, your potential, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Letter D. We are meant for one another. Letter D, we're meant for one another within the body. 1 Corinthians 12:21, look at verse 21 if you're in 1 Corinthians 12. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head. Well, we don't want to say that to the head, that's Jesus. Nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. If the feet said that to the head, we'd have some problems. We need each other. We need each other. Paul told the Roman believers, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Bear ye one another's burdens, Galatians reads, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're here to bear each other's burdens. Roman numeral 3, the members of the church, the members of the church. We talked about how the word membership is used loosely, or can be used loosely in the 21st century. Some holding membership at a club or a discount club, a timeshare. How about a grocery store? And don't think of these loose associations so much that we're going to diminish the concept of membership in a local church. When we say we're members of the local church, we're not going to underestimate the significance of this relationship. This means we're spiritually connected not just to one another, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12, again, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Letter A, there's a myth about the members. There's a myth about the members. We're not a congregation of clones, okay? We're not all the same. And let me mention this. You're a gifted child. Every one of us is a gifted child, not because we're special, not because, you know, we're the best, or we're better than the church down the street. No, you're a gifted child because God has given you something that you can use for him. There's a myth about the members. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. God's ways are not our ways. I tend to estimate someone's value, maybe on their appearance, or their abilities, or their affluence, maybe their wealth. And, you know, God, on the other hand, he sees things differently. Sometimes we see success, and we measure success by what we can see and miss what only God can see. God, on the other hand, he's placing great value on the members and each individual member of his body. Sometimes the most prominent members are guilty of being unavailable to God. And pride can get in the way, but when God uses an unlikely candidate, who gets the glory? He does. He does. You see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men are after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Letter B, there's a ministry among the members. Letter B, there's a ministry among the members. That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Instead of division, discord, or dissension within the body, God desires that we have the same care for one another. We're to weep with them who weep. And when you read the story of the first century church in the book of Acts, you'll notice that God is in the business of adding to or multiplying the local church body for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying and building up of the body of Christ. Letter C, there's a master above the members. There's a master above the members. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Letter C, there's a master above the members. This body, this church belongs to Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Brother Nathan. It doesn't belong to Pastor. Obviously, it belongs to the master who is above the members. Letter D, there's a mission available to the members. Letter D, there's a mission available to the members. Look at verse 28, the same chapter we've been in this whole time. God has set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of ministry, miracles, have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is found in the next chapter, which is charity, which is love, unconditional love, Christ-like love. Now, a kitchen has toasters, has air fryers, waffle irons, crock pots, pressure cookers, blenders, microwaves, even a refrigerator for most kitchens. And what they all have in common is that they must be plugged in. We need to be plugged in. They all work differently. And you know how the joke, the joke during quarantine was that you, during quarantine and during the pandemic and throughout the stages of all this, you either got a dog, you got a baby, or you got an air fryer, okay? I don't know if that's true. Maybe you can help me with that. But, you know, we're all different. We're all different. And we had to be plugged into the source or else we can't operate. All of this is necessary and valid to understand that mission available to the members. God doesn't give the same task to everyone. Do you know your role in this local body? If not, we can help you find that place so you can get plugged in. Are you contributing to the health of this body? Am I building others up or am I tearing them down? There's a mission for us to do. We ought to declare the gospel, deliver the truth. As the body of Christ, we're responsible to obey the dictates of our head. Let's carry out his work and will on this earth. Let's join together and make a difference as we move forward. I mean, we can mature as a body. We can mature as a body when we give him our undivided attention. He gave me his undivided attention on the cross of Calvary. The truth may not be fashionable in the eyes of modern society, but it's fruitful and it strengthens and it sustains. In tight spaces and dark places, in those midnight moments of life where it's quiet enough for you to hear God speak, God can develop maturity out of adversity. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, as one body in Christ, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.